Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who get to church and immediately look to see what I wrote in Something to Ponder, if any of those of you exist,
all of you,
Dawn assures me that all of you do that immediately. You'll notice that I've put in the 10 rules for respect. And some of you immediately go, we have seen that before. I know that, because some of you tell me that. And that is fine, and that is appropriate. This is not, but I do want to talk about that a little bit. Because I know some of you have seen that before, because I put that in about twice a year. And if you have been on vestry with me, you see that at least one more time a year. Some of you who have been on vestry with me or are on vestry with me are smiling because they're like, we've got it. We know. You read it to us. If you are on vestry with me, I read it to them. And every time I put it in, I try to say something about why I keep putting that before you. And that is what I want to visit again. But I pulled a couple of books off my shelves, and one of them is this. It's by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We just passed the date of his martyrdom the other week in early April. If I was Lutheran, I might know that by memory, but I'm not Lutheran, and I don't know it by memory. For those of you who don't know Dietrich Bonhoeffer's name offhand, he was a German Christian who refused to, I think convert might actually be the best word here, to convert to what the Nazi regime decided to call Christianity and insisted on practicing Christianity, and as such decided that that led him to attempt to kill Adolf Hitler and was arrested and was executed for that attempt. Before that, he wrote a number of things, including this. It's a very little book. It's called Life Together, the Classic Exploration of Faith in Community. It was assigned reading when I was in seminary, but I had actually read it years before that. When I was in university, there were some challenges at my local church. I know that concept shocks all of you. And I had stumbled across this book for some reason and decided that I would read it to see if it could help me understand that. And there is a paragraph from this that has always stuck with me. And as I was putting the 10 rules for respect in the bulletin, this was actually one of the things that was in the back of my mind, but there is a space limit I challenge every time I do that, so I could not put both of them in. So I thought I would read this to you this morning instead. I would commend the whole book to you. Some of it is, I mean, he does go on for a whole bit about how you ought to read the Psalms in community that might be less helpful than some other sections, but as a whole, I would commend the whole book to you. It is not long. It is a fairly quick read. He writes, "There is probably no Christian to whom God has not given the uplifting experience of genuine Christian community at least once in his life. But in this world, such experiences can be no more than a gracious extra beyond the daily bread of Christian community life. We have no claim upon such experiences, and we do not live with other Christians for the sake of acquiring them. It is not the experience of Christian brotherhood, but solid and certain faith in Christian brotherhood that holds us together. That God has acted and wants to act upon all, this we see in faith as Christ's greatest gift. This makes us glad and happy, but it also makes us ready to to forgo all such experiences when God at times does not grant them. We are bound together by faith, not by experience." This is a book I keep on my shelves, and I pull it out and I read sections of it. There are times when I reread all of it. In times just for that passage, at times for the whole book. There are other books and there are other models. to pull off shelves. This is another one, the Rule of Benedict, that offer insight for how to live together as Christians. So I would ask you to go home and reread the 10 Rules for Respect, even if they seem incredibly familiar. Sit with them for a minute. Think about what other models you might hold up. And maybe not tonight, maybe that is all the time you have tonight, but maybe tomorrow night, take out whatever other model you think might be excellent and put them side by side. And see what holds up. And see what doesn't. I think there is some wisdom in the 10 Rules of Respect that works well for a community that doesn't live together. These two models offer great wisdom, but they were both ultimately written for communities that lived together day by day, which is a different experience than what we live with. And there are different challenges when you don't live with each other. There are very different challenges when you do live with each other every day. I have lived that from time to time in my life. So I offer these not as the end-all and the be-all, but as a beginning. And over time, and at times, I have shared other options and other insights. I will continue to do that. But I do think there is wisdom to be gleaned in going back to these. Every time I share them, I promise you, I do sit down and reread them to remind myself and to hold myself accountable to them too. So, thank you. You are witnesses of these things. This is the pronouncement our gospel reading ends with. And if you listen to the text today, they have a lot to say about being witnesses. We are told a lot about things the disciples are witnesses of. Have you given a lot of thought to witnessing? Not really. Maybe it's just me. I may watch a higher than average amount of crime drama. I like the happy endings. I'm told this is an occasional failing of theologians with the moral bent. We like the idea, it's mostly a fictional idea of a just universe where the bad guys always get caught and go to jail. But I've also spent time with people who work on things, not with this particular project, but on things like the Innocence Project. Is anyone familiar with that? I don't know if it exists in Canada. Yeah, so someone is, but for everyone else, I'll give the brief summation of it. The Innocence Project largely works with death row criminals, so people whose lives are in jeopardy because of the state, have been convicted of capital offenses, and they are working their way through the appeals system. In the U.S., if you are convicted and sentenced to death, there's an automatic appeal. And then there's often a long series of appeals. It's a very expensive process. But one of the things the Innocence Project will do is it will, having raised funds, go in and re-examine evidence. And out of the many convictions it has overturned based on applying DNA evidence to cases that happened before that sort of procedure was available, it has found that eyewitness testimony is often horribly unreliable. If you go and Google eyewitness testimony and reliability, you will find that we are increasingly discovering that human beings aren't actually very reliable witnesses, which might make you wonder what Jesus was up to when he turned to this group of disciples. Disciples who, if you remember Holy Week, have fled, hidden, and mostly been terrified for the last several days. And looks at them and says, "You are witnesses of this. I'm leaving it all in your hands." What did they turn and do next? Did they turn and look at each other and say, "We have totally got this"? I don't think so either. I suspect they turned and looked at each other like, What? He's not leaving again, is he? If you stay with us until Pentecost and Ascension, you'll hear how I refer to Ascension. Come back for that one. I enjoy that one. You are witnesses of these things. Even when you're not very good at it. Even when you have a proven and recent track record of not responding well in the middle of a crisis. There are other statistics about how humans respond in the middle of a crisis and how much training it takes to teach us how to respond better. The short answer is a lot of training. We require a lot of training to learn how to respond. But we don't need a lot of statistics or studies to show how much Jesus cares about most of that. We have this story. The gospel actually, the lectionary actually starts this reading in the middle of a verse. I think they're trying to make the disciples look good. I'm not really sure why. They don't usually look good in the gospels. The verse starts with the disciples in a locked room. And they are scared and they are alone, and that is when Jesus appears to them. And that is when the confusion and the hope and the disbelief begin all over again. The same kind of confusion and hope and disbelief we might imagine they first experienced when Jesus originally called them. Way back at the beginning of Luke, when they had even less to go on, when they walked away from everything to follow this preacher who told funny stories and promised them very little in return. And maybe we need to give the disciples a break here. Because in Luke's gospel, they don't go back to those lives. For all of their fear and confusion, for all of their hiding, they have stayed together. They are together in that room trying to make sense of a tragedy that will really never make sense. For all that they probably don't know what to do when Jesus looks at them and says, "You are my witnesses." They still have each other to look at. And before we get too caught up in statistics and courtrooms, we forget something too. This isn't a courtroom. This is a church. Our standard isn't the rule of law, but the gospel of faith. And here I have seen people trust, and there is no reason to trust again. Here I have seen people take risks when there is no safety net. Here, I have seen people do the impossible. And you are the witnesses of these things too. And for all of the times when I look at people as a group and I wonder why Jesus would leave the church in our hands, there are days when I look at your faces And I know exactly why Jesus left the church to us. It's not because we're experts. It's not because we're ever going to become experts. We aren't. It's because when Jesus looks at us, he sees our hearts. And he knows that for all of the times we get it wrong, for all of the times we hurt one another, we want to love Jesus. We want to love one another. And we have, perhaps, in faith, one or two great leaps left in us. Amen.